Welcome, welcome, welcome to our weekly Sunrise Project call, where we are here together in this safe space filled with love and compassion and our desire to heal ourselves and our families. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I am so delighted this morning to have our very special guest with us today, Janine Horn. She's been with us two times previously, and this is literally about 1 year ago she was here, literally almost to the day. And she's back with us this morning for a perfect topic around how can we go beyond surviving to thriving. And so before we get jump into the conversation, let me tell you about Janine. She is phenomenal. So Janine is a sought-after healthcare professional who holds the prestigious title of board-certified advanced holistic nurse, along with many certifications and degrees, and a Master of Science degree in nursing education. She has a career that spans over 20 years and has honed her expertise in community health, nursing leadership, and clinical research. She's an award-winning entrepreneur, dynamic keynote speaker, and the compassionate heart behind Zen Well Studios, which is a certified Black-owned and media business enterprise. Her experiences in surmounting her health challenges have provided her with unique insights into the transformative power of embracing change. Her journey of healing underscores the significance of courage in achieving profound personal growth. From her beginnings as a paramedical esthetician to her advancement to Director of Clinical Development for federally qualified health centers, Janine has consistently upheld the belief that true wellness emerges at the nexus of science and spirituality. Her credentials have equipped her to integrate evidence-based practices with intuitive approaches, resulting in experiences that address both the scientific and spiritual needs of individuals. I love that. And I always read the Serenity Prayer, which is all of that. I love it, love it, love it. Under Janine's leadership, Zen Well Studio has earned numerous small business awards for its community impact and innovation. She captivates audiences with her stories of resilience, data-driven insights, and self-care strategies, which we're going to jump into in a moment. And her genuine approach to wellness makes her message powerful and relatable. She and her team offer meditation, sound healing, IV hydration, and fitness coaching, and more to schools, senior communities, corporations, and nonprofits. Each service is founded on her steadfast dedication to respect everyone's distinct journey, to foster hope when it seems unattainable, and to affect enduring transformation in body, mind, and community. So I am so happy to have you here with us this morning again, Janine. Welcome back and good morning.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Hello to all the Sunrise family on the line. I'm happy to
Yes.
share my stories, and hopefully, if we could reach just one person out there, that's always my goal and mission.
Absolutely. And every week, at least one person is reached. And so I want to start with, your background and how you decided to be in this space of creating the Zen Well Studio and all of what you do.
Yeah, this topic this morning is pretty much my whole life journey in a sense. Sometimes I didn't even know that I was in survival mode because it was the way of operating for so long that it became very ingrained in who I was, and I just figured, I'm a soldier, I'm strong, I power through. I'm able to be there for any and everyone. But over the course of the years, I learned that that's not necessarily the way that we were meant and built physiologically and spiritually to operate. So my background, I'm a registered nurse, but I became a nurse later in life. That's my second career. I've always been an entrepreneur. As you mentioned, I started off as an esthetician, a makeup artist. I did some consulting for dermatology practices. I've always been in like the creative field in a sense, and I recognized that there was a need to go further. So, at a certain point, maybe about 15 years ago, I became a registered nurse. At the time, I have 3 children altogether. My oldest is 22, almost 23, and then I have 6 and 7 year old boys. So when I was in nursing school, my daughter was about maybe 6 years old at the time. I put myself through school. It was something that I recognized that I needed to do in order to advance my own education and my perspectives in my career. Because at a certain point, you hit a threshold and a ceiling, and you just feel like, what's next? What can I do next in order to make my life better and the lives of others around me? As a single mother growing up, it was very difficult for me to figure out and how to navigate the healthcare system without having the proper financial backing, educational backing, and the advocacy or the voice to speak up for myself. So after becoming a nurse, I was really drawn to public and community health nursing, in which case primarily my background has been working in underserved, high-risk, vulnerable populations through way of federal qualified healthcare centers, which are FQHCs. FQHCs are health clinics that have the ability to see patients regardless of their ability to pay. So we don't turn anyone away if they don't have insurance. We treat anyone and everyone as humanly as possible. This right now, it's extremely my passion. If you all know me, you know that this is something that I like live and breathe because I believe in it on a very visceral soul level. And the things that are happening right now in our current society like affect me on an even greater scale because of knowing how many populations are marginalized and are left out of being able to take care of themselves on a holistic level, which brings us into the whole part of empathy. So I love this.
Right. So define empathy, because that's you just said the word. Define empathy from your perspective and why it's so important for us to have empathy for ourselves.
Yes. So empathy, there's having empathy, and then there's also being an empath. So having empathy is the ability to resonate with someone's story, being able to putting yourself in someone else's shoes to understand and recognize maybe the challenges or the struggles that they are going through, and having a kind heart and a softness towards that. It's also the capacity to see things through their world, even if that is not your particular story, but being able to resonate with them. Empaths, on the other hand, are those that feel things on a visceral level. I totally consider myself an empath. People can talk to me and tell me their story, and I feel it in my body. I'll feel it. I'll feel the sensations running through my body, the energy shift, kind of like the goosebumps, the hair that sticks up on my arms, because their story means something a little bit deeper and energetic to me. And it is my ability to also be able to understand and move 10 steps ahead on how best they can be in a state of flow, in a state of relaxation, peace, comfort, and all of those things that are necessary for the nervous system to calm itself in order to regulate both energetically, emotionally, and on a nervous system level.
Right. But it's important for us to give empathy to ourselves, right? To
Yes,
really work
absolutely.
through that. And I
Absolutely.
think what I hear is not necessarily being an empath, though, because that takes it one step further, correct? That's what I'm hearing. Okay. Awesome. So, what's actually happening to our minds and our bodies? Because you talked about the effects. When we stay in survival mode, and you talked about being in survival mode yourself for many, 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 many years. What are the effects of being in that survival mode for too long or for any period of time?
So a lot of times we don't realize that the physical effects on our body are a direct manifestation of mental imbalances that are occurring in the mind. In our mind, we have two major nervous system, central nervous system pathways, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. So the sympathetic system is that system that is constantly on activation. That's the fight, flight, freeze, fawn mode, and then parasympathetic is rest, digest. So when you are constantly in nerve or survival mode, that sympathetic nervous system is constantly activated. The certain parts in our brain, the amygdala, that's the part that guides and governs the sympathetic nervous system, that's always on fire. That's just inflamed at all times. That is the hypervigilance that you feel, the discomfort that you feel, the impending doom feeling, anxiety, depression, the feeling that maybe even restlessness, like I can't sit still because I feel guilty for even resting. Essentially, the prefrontal cortex is the part of the brain that is responsible for decision making, reasoning, calming the body, making rational decisions from a calmer state. But if we aren't able to allow the parasympathetic nervous system to take over and that prefrontal cortex to happen, that amygdala and that fight or flight feeling is just constantly on fire. And if we're not aware that there is another way to heal and another way to be as a person, we start to then develop physical symptoms as a late stage manifestation. And a lot of times these symptoms are related to so many other things that you're not realizing that it may have something to do with the high levels of stress that you're feeling, the increased level of cortisol, high blood pressure, respiratory conditions because you're not breathing. Sometimes you go throughout the day and you're realizing like, I've been holding on to I haven't even like took a break, a pause, even between some of the words that I speak, with people or just in general, because you're so in your body. And that is one thing when, as a nurse, that I notice when I'm working with people is that I don't like to just look at the physical side of things. I'm also trying to understand what are the other factors surrounding that that are contributing to the onset of metabolic syndrome, which could be obesity, diabetes, hypertension, autoimmune development. It's just a total cascade. And we have all of these, we want to rebuild the neuroplasticity in the brain, reshaping things so that we are thinking differently and embodying differently so that we are not constantly in this hypervigilal state all the time. So essentially, that's what happens.
So the real question, it's true for me this morning, like most of us, I'm sure, are tired or exhausted, sleepy, and have too much to do to hold it all together, to get things done. There's limited hours in the day. And so, what are some actual tools, especially for people who are pushing through, carrying the weight, trying to just, get it together, keep it together? What are some actual things we can do for ourselves and also for our loved ones, our children, our adult children? What are some tips or tricks? Like right in this moment, I'm physically and mentally exhausted, and I want to just crawl back in bed, but that's not possible. It's just not possible. So, what are some other things that we can do when we don't have the opportunity to get back in bed?
So that's a great question because, sometimes in theory it sounds great, but in practice it's like, yeah, okay, but how do I manage and get through the day? I'm sure there's a number of people on the call right now can identify themselves as caregivers, whether they are taking care of young families, older adults, grandparents, aging parents, and find themselves caught in the middle between both of those dynamics and are feeling overwhelmed, overstimulated, absolutely feeling like, where is my chance and my opportunity to take care of myself? I
That's right.
think the first thing is to start to practice radical acceptance, understanding where you are right now. And giving yourself grace and mercy for the things that you're responsible for, and understanding that, take a deep breath, calm your nerves for a second. When you start to feel that spiral happening, like, oh my gosh, I have, it's almost 10 o'clock and I have all of these wonderful things to do, or all these crazy things that I need to do today, and I don't know when I will find the time to rest. At some point, there has to be some emotional flexibility that you need to give to yourself, the responsiveness, understanding that you are only but one person. Sometimes it's saying no to things. Sometimes it's taking a look at your calendar and being realistic about what are some things that I can say no to in this next season. We're pretty much halfway through the year, right? June is coming in tomorrow, essentially. And we want to look at where have we been and what do we not no longer want to carry through to the rest of 2026 in order for us to feel present in our own body. That could look like establishing clear and concise boundaries. That could also be saying no to certain situations or things or obligations that don't really necessarily need your presence. Also, just recognizing where you have come, how far you've come in your journey, and really understanding that, there's a lot that you're responsible for, but what can you delegate? What can you delegate to someone else realistically? Because we want that control. We want to feel like I got it, I can do everything. But that also taps back into that self-abandonment, the rejection that you might feel. Rejection is like, well, I've asked for help before in the past and I didn't get it. So now I'm ingrained and it's in my mind that I'll just do it myself. If I want things done right, I'll do it myself. But it's also you're burning yourself out because you're asking maybe the wrong people for help. That also sense of, abandonment. Maybe as a child, you had to learn to parent yourself. So as an adult, you've carried that through to the point where you are always the one that people go to for help and assistance, but you don't have the same support. Maybe that's changing your energy, changing the environment that you're around to be with more like-minded individuals that are able to sustain the type of energy and frequency that you're on. And creating joy. So you may have a packed agenda, but you have to carve some time out of the day just for you to reset, whether that is just taking a deep breath, stepping away from something for a minute, getting some rest. Sure, you may have a lot of things that you've got going on, but your body will sit you out if you don't at some point sit yourself out. And then not feeling guilty for that. I hit a wall, right? I hit a wall, maybe I would say January or February, where I just like completely crashed. I had been doing
This
so
year,
much.
recently, 2026. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A couple of months ago, over the last few years, I've been doing so much, excuse me,
No
to
problem.
keep my business going. It's been a passion of mine, so I throw everything into that. But also, that was my way of distracting myself from the real deeper issues and root causes of things that I was going through. I decided to get back into therapy. That was really, really amazing and very helpful for me. I started a number of years ago, but then I gave myself that excuse. I'm too busy right now. I can't add another thing onto my plate. But after going through extreme burnout and like literally mentally, physically, emotionally, all the things, I had to sit myself out. Otherwise, I was not going to be able to move any forward. I'm older now, so my boys get a different mother from me than my daughter
Then
did.
you're 20, yeah. The
I was
six
younger
and
when I had.
7 year old. Ooh, child.
They're six and
That's a
seven, yes. And I'm in my mid-40s, and they got a lot
I
more energy than
understand.
I'm prepared for, And so I had to understand too that my children are seeing what's happening to me. And this is something that I saw with my mother. My mother's also a nurse. My father is around and is in my life, but my mother was the one that worked all the time, all the shifts, all the hours, all the overtime. I seen that. And when you have parents that are making things work, and then one that's just kind of there, but not really present emotionally, there's a disconnection that happens. And I found that I was starting to become more like my mother by throwing myself into work, making sure that my children are taken care of, but ne neglecting my needs. That is depression. That is anxiety. Late stage, I have ADHD. I only really came to terms with that as an adult in my 40s. And that moment there for me was everything, like realizing I just can't be everything to everybody and I just won't. So, yeah, I might have some things that I need to get done and I'm responsible for, but who else can I delegate things to? Sometimes my daughter doesn't need me to solve all her problems. She's an adult now. Radical acceptance. You have to make decisions and choices for yourself. My sons, they got a lot going on. They want to do all the things they want to, and they're boys, they're active. That's fine. But I have to alter my schedule. I can't be a part of every different committee, every different board. I can't be at this meeting, this social event, this network. I just can't. It's not my season. So just understanding and giving myself radical acceptance was huge for me. And I think that would be something that people need to stop and take a look at is like, where am I at currently in my state? What deserves my attention and what does not at the moment? What can I put off until a later date? Do I have to start this project right now? Do I have to be at this event right now? Can someone else kind of can I look for respite type support services for my grandmother or my grandfather or my mom or dad? Can I have one of my girlfriends, take the boys for a weekend so I can just have a minute to myself? Like really understanding, like working out what your tribe, who your tribe is, who your trusted people are, and also just making sure that you have the capacity to rest without guilt. Maybe you just need to, I call it bed rot. Maybe you just need to bed rot for one Saturday or one Sunday, one weekend. Like, and that's, it is what it is. We don't have to keep, and we try to push ourselves. We try to do that all the time. But that just contributes to, again, the physical things that happen in our body.
Just
As Black women,
survival.
as Black women in general are three times more likely to experience chronic related illness stress. So,
You said three times more likely.
three times more likely.
Heart disease, stroke, those types of this.
In general, six in 10 adults have some sort of at least one chronic illness. So that essentially that means pretty much half of the people on this call right now are struggling with at least one chronic condition. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's
Right. That is a lot. So in January or February, when you've had this break, this crash, did you st start saying no? I heard you say I just start, I changed things. And did you shift your presence to your little boys and say, I'm
Did.
taking, like, how did you do it physically?
So my body was speaking to me what my mind was continuing to suppress. I had to integrate. So there was a lot of things that I had unconsciously pushed down, 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 deep, deep. I had
Yes,
to
I get
bring
that.
some of that to the surface to understand why it is that I feel that I have to take on the world, why it is that I am able to pour into others, but I don't give myself the same grace and mercy, why it is that I will put myself in situations, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in friendships or business opportunities that I know that don't speak to my level or my value, but I do it anyway, maybe out of guilt. Maybe my people pleasing tactic that I had at one point, and that at that point I had to just realize like something has to change. Like I've been operating like this my whole life, and if I want things to be different, I always pray about it. I want things to be different. When is it my turn? What is what is this lesson showing me here? But I had to also be real with myself. Like you're not doing anything differently to change your situation. So how are you going to show up
That's right.
differently in order for you to have a different outcome? I'm scanning my body for the unpaid emotional labor, just scanning your body and feeling where you feel the feels. What hurts? What is the chronic pain? Do you have chronic migraines, chronic back pain? always sick all the time, hair loss, weight gain, tightness in your chest, clenching your jaw. Those are all like symptoms of like having anxiety and having this hypervigilant state, but you don't realize it because you're just constantly doing it and you're always doing it all the time. Catching your, I was, I had to catch myself when I spiral. So I had to realize like, okay, I got a lot going on in my brain. I have like 35 different tabs open at all the times, you know? And I had to realize that there's a lot going on in my mind that I'm not getting out because I'm not speaking about it. It's all visceral inside of me, and that's manifesting. And I'm getting irritable and angry because other people don't know that I'm going through this because I didn't tell anybody. It's not their fault. I just didn't tell anybody. So I'm upset and I'm
Because
angry.
you're keeping it all inside.
Yes. And it's like, but did you actually ask for help? No, I didn't ask for help, you know, but I just think people should know. Like, no, like people just don't know what you're going through unless you talk about it. And so therapy has been like amazing for me. Like, I
I
always
do think,
incorporate that.
and therapy is critical. I think that's amazing. I think finding a great therapist is can be hard, but they exist.
Yes.
So how did you find your therapist? How did you find the person that, because you said you started going to back to therapy. How did you find that your person?
So she was the same person that I was seeing about 3 or 4 years ago, and then I stopped because I start at that point I had started my business. The business part just took over. So I just reached back out to her again to see if she was still practicing and accepting new clients, and then I just started right back with her. It was just like very seamless. So I was
That's
lucky.
awesome.
Yeah, I was lucky in a sense because sometimes it is very hard for you to find someone that resonates with you. And it's
It
sometimes
is
it's a
sometimes
trial and
for when
error.
you find that good person.
And
It
a
is a
lot of
trial
times
and
it is
error.
trial
I
and
want to
error.
make sure it is. Oh, go ahead. You were about to say something it looked like. I
No,
think I
I was
may
just
have
going to
cut you
say
off.
like that in addition to incorporating my mindfulness tools. So that was another thing that was difficult for me is like I help other people with the same things that I'm struggling with. You know, like I already know I have the tools. I know how to breathe.
Yes.
I know how to breathe. I can do yoga. I can do, you know, sound bath healings. I can do all those things, but I was not doing it for myself because I'm constantly facilitating it for others. So when I don't,
How about that? Say that again.
what am I
I can
doing?
relate.
What am I doing here? You know,
Yes.
how can you show up fully embodied if you're also going through the same things that you're trying to help other people overcome? So that's another thing I had to do is just like put myself first for one. Like, how dare I? You know, like how dare I? And some people don't like it. They don't resonate with you anymore.
So what
That's
are some of
because,
the
okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
right? And no, you go ahead. You said that's because what you said, some people don't resonate with you anymore, and that's because
And that's because
what?
they're used to interacting with you in your unhealed state, in the state that you were in your old version of yourself. They were comfortable with being your friend or being around you when you were also resonating or vibrating at a lower frequency. But then this is what happens. You
Yes.
start to work on yourself and you elevate more. You bring your energy and your frequency up higher. You know, that altitude, it's hard to breathe up there, and not everybody can breathe at the same level of oxygen when you start to raise up. And then those people either organically start to back away or they start to make you feel guilty for you starting to take care of yourself. And you know, not everybody is meant to go where you're
Yes.
going, and it is what it is.
I think, ooh, there's seasons for different people. Look at
Seasons.
all the exclamation points and this, preach, all of that. Because I think sometimes we have to change our community or certain relationships that no longer serve us if we're not operating. I love how you said it, at the same frequency. You know, and iron sharpens iron. So
Yes.
sometimes we need that and those people in our spaces that are going to complement and uplift versus the suck and drain.
That's exactly it. Exactly it. And a lot of times too, you know, you may not understand it in the beginning. It's like, you know, well, I've had relationships or I've had friendships with these people for so long. I've done so much for them. Like, why would they betray me like this? Or why would they make me feel this way? And everyone is a lesson. Like, that's what I had to learn too, because I was stuck in that, Why me? Like, why is it that I'm so good to people? Why me? But then I had to realize that everybody is a lesson for you. They come for a reason or a season. And not everyone is meant to stay with you throughout your entire journey throughout life.
That's
And
right.
once you
Everyone is a lesson is such a great phrase. Everyone is a lesson because we can learn and build and grow and move forward. I have something on my wall that says, keep moving forward. No matter what, keep moving forward. And sometimes some people have to be left behind in order to move forward. I
Good
love
or
that.
bad, good or bad, it's always a
Good or
lesson.
bad.
Like, well, you taught me
And
what
people
I don't
saying,
want.
indeed.
Absolutely, because when you are going through those things with different, not even people, just environments, situations, jobs. It's what is this lesson teaching me right now that I still need healing? What's the part of me that I still need to work on that is this person or situation is activating inside of me? And that's what I take from it. It's like now I realize what I no longer want and what I will no longer deserve, tolerate anymore.
That's right. That's right. And then you create the vision for yourself of what you do want, and it manifests. It really does. I believe that too. I want to make sure that we give people an opportunity. I see people, some people have come off of mute. Maybe they want to ask a question or share a thought. So feel free. If you're on your phone, you can hit star six. If you are here and want to come off of mute, feel free to do that as well. If you have a question for Janine this morning, if not, we will keep chatting. But I do see a couple people that came off of mute. So feel free. Does anybody have a question or a comment for Janine and all her incredible advice this morning on taking care of ourselves? Okay, well, we will keep chatting. So was there ever a time that you in your life, with your eldest, your daughter, or even currently with the boys, where, and you share a little bit of this, you talked about January and February, you had a break, and you really, it was like a meltdown. Have there been other times in your life that were like that, and you didn't have the tools before your whole Zen Well Studio experience? What was that like for you?
Yes. When I think back, I think that I've always felt like a little tortured soul, kind of my whole life, and didn't realize it. I've gone through a lot. When I was younger, I moved around a lot. When my mother, so I had a brother. My brother passed away in 2018, and so my brother and
Sorry.
I were 8 years apart. And so moving around a lot, I'm originally from New York and we moved between Maryland and Florida back to New York again. So pretty much I lived all up and down the East Coast. And as I connected that to my present life, I realized that that lack of stability had a big major part in my adult life. I didn't stay in my childhood home for, my whole life. And then I graduated from high school and then went off. It was just a lot of instability and a lot of different things that were kind of like going on in my parents' lives that also affected me as an adult. So those childhood, adverse events are real because you carry that on throughout your adult life unless you start to get help or recognize what's happening, to you. I had a very traumatic experience with my labors with, I would say, two of my children. With my oldest daughter, I was a young single mother. I was 21 when I had her. I essentially drove myself to the hospital when I was in labor, and I gave birth by myself. No one else was there with me. That was very traumatic for me because I didn't have any support. My parents at the time were in Florida and they weren't able to come. I had her in Maryland. They weren't able to come to the hospital in time by the time I went into labor. So I was there by myself for the most part. And the way that the nurses and the support staff in the hospital made me feel, I said to myself, I will never, ever, ever, ever make someone feel like that again because they made me feel like Here's another little young black girl again. Oh gosh, she don't have nobody here with her. We see this all the time. It was heart-wrenching for me because I had no idea how to what I was doing. No idea what I was doing. And I share that story because
And
that
you were
was one of
21.
21. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a teen parent, but I was very young. I had just turned 21. And then here I go, I have this baby, and they're like, here you go. And I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with her now. I'm like, okay, well, what do I do next? Like, I'm not really sure. But I had to dig deep into myself and figure out what was the next step moving forward after this so that I don't feel like this again. And I don't ever have, or I don't ever let someone else who comes in my presence feel like that. That was one of the major driving forces of me becoming a nurse, is I wanted to resonate with those that have that same feeling, but don't resonate or don't have the same relationship with others because they don't look like you. And especially when it comes to the healthcare setting. So if you don't feel comfortable with your provider, whether it's your doctor, nurse practitioner, anyone, you're not going to be 100% transparent about what you're going through because you don't want to maybe feel judged or maybe feel like, your information is used against you. And so sometimes you can suffer because you're not being fully honest about the whole picture that's going on. And so health was not as big of a deal as it is now as it was 20 years ago. It was, straight, we're going to just put you on medication straightforward. Like that was always the go-to. You have postpartum, we're going to just put you on meds and then, go from there. That's not always the answer because maybe my situation was very in a fight right now in that moment, and it did not help for me to be on medication because that trades one problem for another. Then after moving forward,
Although I will say, I think I had postpartum depression and I didn't get the help. It was the opposite. I think I was made to, or maybe I took it on feelings of guilt because I was like, why don't I feel happy? This should be wonderful. And it was not. And it was quite the opposite in terms of, I wish looking back, someone had said, I think you may have postpartum. Let me give you something to help, you know?
Help
So I
regulate.
think it just depends. Every case is different. And to
Well,
your point, though,
you don't
your
know that it's
provider,
postpartum. You don't really
you
know
don't. But you need a provider you can trust. And if you don't have that person, then you need to find someone else. That's,
that.
I think, another key lesson. So that's important. And someone just wrote in here, everyone and every experience is a lesson and or a blessing. We're met with mirrors in every space
That part.
and we can enter. This all resonates so deeply. I agree.
I love that part about the mirror because that has been something that's been apparent over the last few years. What I recognize in clients and also in myself is that the certain people that you meet that come into your life, they do essentially mirror some parts of you that are unhealed. Like if you think about the things that irritate you the most about somebody else, but it's also like, well, what is it in me that is still left unsaid and unhealed that makes me so irritated by this person? Maybe that's a part of myself that I still need to work on. Or you may have admiration about someone, maybe because they are, more outgoing and more vocal and can express needs a bit differently. And you may feel like, oh, she's always got something to say. But maybe that's the part of you that it's suppressing your own need for, expressing yourself because you're not doing it, but you see someone else doing it, and that kind of irritates you about them. So I'm very big in people that are in your life mirror some sort of part of you, whether it's good or bad, that you need to start to heal.
Exactly. So tell us about Zenwell Studio. What I read about it in your bio in the introduction, but what kind of services do you provide, and are they virtual or do people need to come in person?
So I've completely pivoted. This was also part of my realization that some things had to change in my business. So I am now Zenwell Health. I am now providing, my team and I are providing community health consulting, population health strategies for healthcare organizations, hospital systems, senior living facilities, and nonprofit organizations and corporate for-profit as well. So essentially what I'm providing now is more care coordination on a program scale and helping clients navigate the complexities of the healthcare system, coordinating and doing chronic education or chronic disease education and management. When you are trying to say, for instance, you have older children or younger children and older adults that you need to take care of, that can be a lot on you as a person. And if you are understanding of what the needs are for your both your older adults and your younger children, you need that little extra layer of care coordination and care management to help. So I essentially assist people with all of the basic social determinants of healthcare factor, whether it is the need for access to healthcare, education, employment opportunities, food insecurity, transportation, all those different things that may prevent or hinder you from being able to be compliant and adherent to your current health conditions and your current, regimen of care. So we'll help with, doing medication management, teaching, helping you schedule appointments, and all of those things. And I work with different hospital systems and county health departments where we have our community health workers go out and also spread the word about different resources, and things that are available within the particular community for those that may have, no insurance or underinsured. So that's where I've pivoted to. And that was
Awesome.
also a big thing for me to let go of as well, because I've operated in a very different way for so long for the last several years. And to be able to let go of that and realize that this is really what my passion is and what the direction is that I need to go into, that took a lot too for me to just come to the realization that some things need to change because some things were not working. So how I am personally, or how sometimes we all are personally, also shows up in how we handle business. And so if the personal side, if you're not working on that, that also shows up and manifests in your business. Knowing your worth, being comfortable with charging your prices, and not lowering it because maybe someone can't afford it, maybe just that person is not your particular client, and being okay with that because you're not gonna
That's right.
be able to work with everybody, and that was what I wanted to do. I want to work with everybody, but I can't.
Well, you had the power and the passion to pivot, and you also had the courage to make the change, because we talked about that earlier. It takes courage to shift and really make a change, especially when you've been doing something a long time in one particular way. And sometimes we have to change. We have to purge forward, and we have to pivot in order to make our business successful, right? And continue. What I love about what you're doing is you're continuing to help people, but you're doing it in a different way. And it's fantastic. So I love that. So ZenWell Health now. ZenWell Health. Awesome. That's incredible. Compassion, someone said. I think that's a wonderful word, and it's part of your bio. Being a compassionate heart behind ZenWell Health. So, talk about the word compassion. And again, I want to go back to how do you show compassion and radical acceptance with our children? What's the best way to do that?
Compassion and radical.
Physically, how does that manifest? Pa compassion and radical acceptance. Especially when we may have children that are a handful sometimes.
What I realized is that my children are just a mirror and a reflection of me. Sometimes I don't think that they hear and listen to all of the things that I'm saying and what's going on around them, but they do, and they pick up on a lot of things. And one thing I noticed in my older son, my 7-year-old, is that when he gets angry and frustrated, he reminds me of myself of when I was getting angry and frustrated. He would kind of have the same kind of mannerisms. So I realized, like, okay, well, I need to change how I show up in order for him to see what it looks like to be regulated and calm. I would get very frustrated at sometimes because I have a lot of responsibility, a lot of things on my plate, and inadvertently I would take it out on not necessarily them, but just like express my frustrations in a way that was very unhealthy. And so when I see him do it, I had to catch myself, like, let me calm him down because I see that he's about to go off the deep end, and I want to catch him at this state right now where he's a little more moldable, you know, especially with him being a young black male. The society and the world that we live in aren't kind, you know, to us people of color, especially young black men. And the last thing that I want to do is to impart any childhood adverse events onto him that will continue on. And the point is to break that generational curse and the lineages that we have taken on from things that we've learned from our mother learned from her mother, and so forth and so on. So who is going to be the catalyst of change? It has to start with somebody. So I wanted to start with me, with my daughter as
That's
well.
right.
You know, she struggles with a lot of different things that I see in myself with her. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I was here, you know, this reminds me about 20, and I'm over here looking at her. This reminds me of myself, you know, a few years ago, and it is a reflection of me. And it was a mirror. It's a mirror. I'm like, this is how I would act
Our
before.
children are a mirror. I love that.
Yes, and the decisions I would make, and I see some things reflected in her, and I'm like, wow, this is really coming full circle for me. So I have to practice radical acceptance that there were some things that I wasn't doing or handling properly that I see that my children are taking on those traits. And I have to then now do my best to help mitigate that so that they don't carry on yet again. And that was something that was like a real eye-opener for me. And I'm like, whoa. This is interesting that what's happening right now, especially because my two kids are, or my three, they're on different ends of the spectrum. She's an adult, and then I have still two younger ones. So I am still kind of taking on a lot of the things and a lot of the ways that I coped still into my adult life in my 40s. And that has to, I really have to pay attention to that.
Yes, and what a blessing that you have an opportunity to do it again. You know what I mean? I say that, I tell people all the time, we have one chance to get it right as a parent. We can work for the rest of our lives, but when they're little and when they're growing up, it's such an opportunity to listen to them and do all the things that you're practicing because we know what to do. A lot of us, didn't do it so perfectly the first time and don't necessarily have little ones coming behind us to have another chance. So I think it's a fantastic opportunity. And I love the notion that our children are a reflection of us. They internalize what they see, what they hear, how they experience us. I know with our children, my boys, I never modeled communication or how to communicate, because similar to what you talked about at the beginning, I was a workaholic, working around the clock, always traveling, always on the road, always escaping, running away from things I didn't want to deal with, or pains or unhealed trauma, like you talk about from the past, from my own childhood. And so it's they didn't learn that skill. How to communicate, how to talk to someone in a loving, compassionate, logical way. They didn't learn that. So I think, so now I know a lot of us on this call are pivoting and relearning and trying to reshape our relationships, building to rebuild, building new relationships based on connection, conversation, communication, and I love the term of radical acceptance, really letting them be them fully. But it's hard sometimes.
It's hard. I mean, it is difficult. And now, I mean, now our children have access to a lot more than we did, you know, when we were younger. If we wanted to learn about different aspects, we had to go into the encyclopedia and look stuff up, you know. Like,
That's right. I
now,
remember.
you know, you go to the library, you gotta go to the card catalog and the microfiche and pull up information that way. But now
I
they have
remember.
right in their hand, so it's very different. We resonate very differently now.
Exactly.
They're not outside as much anymore. It's like a punishment. Like, I don't want to go outside. What do you mean? You know? But
Exactly.
they need
And that's
to,
all we
and that's
did
good.
and all we knew. This has been phenomenal. I think this compassion conversation, I'm looking to see if there's any notes. People are saying it's so good. Everyone's a lesson indeed. Dr. Vicky has all kinds of big bullseyes all throughout. So I love this conversation this morning. And it's so right on time. As I said, I am physically exhausted, mentally exhausted. And I'm going to use some of your tools, breathing, taking a pause. That's my goal for the next day or so.
Well, and it, you know, one of the things is I went to Dr. Vicky's sound healing, sound bath healing this past week. And that was like amazing for
Okay.
me because I'm always the one that's usually facilitating something. So I don't enjoy, I don't get the chance to fully embody it the same way when I'm the one receiving. So that was like wonderful for me to just
Yes.
actually be able to sit in silence and receive the sounds and the frequency and the vibrations from the instruments. And that made me like, that just helped me so much. Like the healers need healing as well. So just doing something like that for myself, that was
Yes.
very small, you know, but it was very, very like beneficial and helpful. Getting massages more frequently, talking to like-minded individuals. I have to surround myself with other women, other people, other men, everybody in general that are a little bit smarter than me. You know, like I don't want to be the smartest person in the room all the time where everyone is coming to me for the information. I don't grow that way. So just elevating your circle,
That's
the
right.
people that you're around, you know, that are going to put you and place you in different positions that you didn't think were possible because now you have different connections and different environments to draw off of, more knowledge. And so that was, I mean,
Yeah.
that's just key and golden right there.
Yes, I love that. I love that. I'm soaking it all in this moment. And I think it's so divine that this was our topic today. Because normally on Sunday mornings I pop up, I'm ready to go. I'm, full of energy. And today it's a little different. So I appreciate you, all your wisdom. I'm so grateful for you. It was lovely seeing you in person last night.
Yes.
And I want to just give one last chance before we wrap up. If anyone has any questions for Janine, feel free. And there's a comment that says, "My healing space is close to the water." I agree. Same for me.
Yes.
And someone else says, "This is my first time here. Thank you for providing this safe space to discuss and share what is so important for our individual and collective healing journeys." For me, learning self-compassion has been key. I agree completely. And welcome. Happy to have you here. So, we are going to wrap up. I'm going to give you the last word, Janine. Please share like a couple of your core nuggets of tactical things we can do as parents and caregivers for ourselves and for our loved ones today.
Any message that I speak about and I share with other individuals in group settings or one-on-one is also for me as well. It is not me coming from a space where I read something in a textbook or a social media caption and I'm just relaying that information. It is absolutely lived experiences. I think regulation in real life looks like grounding yourself, movement, getting out in nature, connecting back to the divine, really focusing on what matters to you most. And maybe that's just making a list of the things that really matter to you most in this day and time where you're at in this season, and being realistic about how you're going to best achieve those goals. It doesn't have to be like long, lofty goals that are not realistic. You know, we want to like kind of bring them down to a bite-sized, manageable chunk, and then from there move forward. Because I think a lot of times we get overwhelmed with trying to set all these different goals for ourselves and all these things that seem very hard to obtain because there's a lot of steps involved to get there. But I think just taking a look at where you are in your current space in this season that you're in and mapping out where you would like to go, even if it's just for between now until the end of the year, now until the end of next month. You know, June is coming. This is fresh new energy.
Now until the end of the day. How about that?
Exactly.
Now until
Fresh.
the end of the day.
What no longer serves you, what you're no longer in alignment with, Leave it here in May and start anew in June. You have chances, God willing, to keep it going and to start over. And it's never, ever too late. You know, there's no such thing as that. You can start over at any point. You can become a whole different person. You can shatter identities at any point in time and create a whole new archetype, you know, like you're not held to your traumas or your past mistakes. Praying, giving yourself grace and mercy, and allowing yourself to just evolve into what God, what spirit, what the divine wants you to become is the key point.
That is a perfect key point to end on. Thank you for that. I so appreciate you being here this morning. It's fantastic to have you with us. Like I mentioned, you were here a year ago and you were fabulous then and fabulous today. And I appreciate you. Thank you. I'm
Thank
going to turn it over to Dr. Vicky to close us out in a prayer.
You know, a friend of mine says that, Dr. LaTanya Taylor says that if it's in the chair, it's in the room. And I just want to thank you both for your transparency today. Because I'm not tired, I'm tired. That's how we used to say it in the South, like just exhausted. I think that's a theme. I want to just acknowledge, Janine, I thought about you when I saw the moon last night. I don't know if you all saw the full moon last night. It was absolutely beautiful and bright and replenishing and full. It was so full. And so today, God, we thank you for the reminder of self-compassion, to give ourselves grace that is sufficient, new mercies available to us every day, and favor that continues to surround us. Thank you for the wisdom that is consistently shared and poured into us via the Sunrise Project. Thank you for Kelly and Dee. Thank you for Janine today, for every good and perfect gift comes from you. Thank you for every household, every parent, every mother, father, every child represented in this space today. Thank you that we don't have to be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, all we have to do is ask, and you will provide and give to us. So thank you for renewed strength today. Thank you for permission to rest, for permission to give ourselves a break, for permission to say no and still show up as who we are. Thank you for this space, this sacred space of the Sunrise Project, where every week we are given another shot of growth, of wisdom, of peace, love, and strength. Now bless us the rest of this day, and bless us to come back together again on next week to receive more of you, to become better people, better parents. And we give you glory for all of these things. In your name we do pray. Amen. Have a powerful day, everyone. And I love you. Love you, Kelly. Go get some rest.
Love you too. Love you too, big sister. And thank you, Janine. And everybody, have a fabulous day. Alicia from the 1212 community will be with us next Sunday. She's coming back to talk about the power of journaling, which I think is another big piece. And it'll be a nice build on what you share with us today, Janine. So
Thank
thank you for being here. Thanks, everyone. Have a wonderful, beautiful day and week. We'll see you next Sunday.
Okay, thank you guys.
Bye-bye.